You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The Rob Brown Show, back on your radio. I'm also very excited about our next guest. Okay, all right. The Rob Brown Show, back. The Rob Brown Show, back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. I am Rob Brown.
Why'd you stress children?
Of all ages. On the other side of the metaphorical glass, the great Milonzo joins us here. Not joins us, he's the show. I join him every morning. It is 8 o'clock on a Thursday. You know what that means? We take a little roadie right on over to Columbia, South Carolina, and we welcome in a young lady who has been more than gracious to join us in this time slot for a number of weeks, and I suspect she will be here at least until it's time, and it will be time at some point, for her to step further up into the sports broadcasting world, the legendary Lulu Kessin, who covers the Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News, joins us now on the show. Good morning, Lulu Kessin.
Good morning. I hope you guys are doing well. Thanks for having me, as always.
Doing exceptional, and of course. And before we get started, I wanted to take just a minute, because obviously we didn't have you on yesesterday, and it was yesterday, but to you, Lulu Kessin, and to all of the incredible women that we have had the opportunity to work with here on the Rob Brown Show, Savannah Lee, Emily Adams, your predecessor, Alexis Eckerson over with the Swamp Rabbits, Terry Johnson, used to be with the Swamp Rabbits, now with the Nashville Predators, Anna Catherine English, who works for Limestone University, and the countless others I've missed. Happy Girls and Women in Sports Day. Y'all make the conversation better, and we are honored to have you, Lulu Kessin, so thank you.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much. I'm very grateful for everyone before me and next to me, and yesterday was a fun day of celebrating everything, all the lovely things that come with being a woman in sports. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course. Very glad to hear it. All right. Now, let's do the sports thing, Lulu Kessin, and let's catch up with everything happening over there in Columbia. And we usually start it off this way because, well, it's the off season, because we have a few more days until we get to National Recruiting Day. But this is also a very important time, even though it is relatively quiet out here in the streets for the fans that follow the team. It is still a very important time for Shane Beamer, for South Carolina Gamecock football team. Is there anything happening right now that's maybe a little off the radar? Any conversations that are happening right now that you think Gamecock fans may want to be privy to? Or is Shane kind of keeping everything sealed up tight?
I wouldn't necessarily say that Shane is keeping everything sealed up tight, but at the same time, he sort of is, I guess. One thing that I guess yesterday fans probably saw that Donovan Murph, a wide receiver from Irmo, signed. And, you know, it was National Signing Day yesterday. There was early signing day in December, which was when pretty much all of Beamer's class of 2025 recruits, like, officially signed and committed. So Murph actually revealed that his signing at Irmo, you know, the classic, like, you have all the kids out there with, like, their families and at a table and everything, that was actually more of, like, kind of just for show, because he had silently signed with the team. He made it seem like back in October. He at first didn't want to tell reporters and then was like, I'll tell you guys. It was after the Ole Miss game. Even though they lost, I told Coach Beamer that I would be, you know, signing and joining the program. And then he didn't wait to reveal it until January 2nd, which is when he did, I think it was like the Under Armour All-American game, or it was some Under Armour like game. And then he put on a Gamecocks hat, revealed where he was going, and then had like an insane one-handed catch. So I think the whole idea of like, okay, like at first I kind of saw it as Shane got a really great local recruit. And then when he revealed that he was, you know, committed, I guess, back in October, especially after the Ole Miss game, like, that says a lot about what he saw in the program and what he thinks of Beamer and South Carolina football.
Yeah, we've talked a number of times, and mainly because it is kind of peak off-season conversation, Lulu Kesson, about the culture building of Shane Beamer and how that shows up in the world of recruiting. But I don't think that it is, at least to me, tiring to point out the number of recruits over the last really couple of years, but especially it feels like this recruiting cycle, who have gone out of their way to point out the fact that this is a place where they were made to feel special. This is a place that kind of has a very unique chemistry. And a lot of schools like to talk about that being, you know, their family environment or whatever. But Shane, it feels like he has made it a point of emphasis, to the point that recruits feel like grabbing a mic and talking about it is the right thing to do.
I think so. And I think that just goes to stuff that we've talked about before, where Shane doesn't want to take away anyone's individuality. He just wants to make sure that he's making everyone feel comfortable and welcome and, you know, in some degree under some type of, you know, general system. But at the same time, he wants to give everyone, you know, the ability to approach it and make kind of Gamecock football their own. And so I think that goes to, you know, the people that want to talk about it and advocate and, you know, are more vocal about it are going to feel comfortable doing so because of that.
Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News joining us here on the Rob Brown Show, and the Fan Upstate does so every Thursday at 8 a.m. All right, Lulu, let's get into a little women's basketball. I want to go back and start by talking about the game against Auburn. You had pointed out something on X when that game was taking place. It ended up being an 83-66 win, which, you know, on the final scoreboard looks real good. But you pointed out that there were a couple of spots where it felt like there was a little bit of disjointed conversation, communication. There were a couple of spots where, and this is not something we're used to out of a Don Staley coach team, the fundamentals broke down a little bit, and maybe the ladies allowed Auburn to hang in this game a little bit longer than you would have liked. Give me your thoughts on that win over the War Eagle Tigers.
Yeah, I talked to Don directly about that, because there were instances, like, off the top of my head, I'm remembering one where two players basically went after the same loose ball, didn't have an Auburn defender on them. So then it just kind of was like, okay, ball back to Auburn, because two South Carolina players knocked it out of each other's hands. And then on a fast break, two people went up in the air for the same ball and luckily didn't collide. And I mean, they collided, but didn't get hurt. It was just little things like that. So I was kind of trying to see from Dawn's perspective where that came from. And she credited Auburn's defense. She said that Auburn's defense was like high pressure and relentless and forced South Carolina to, you know, make the fourth, fifth, sixth pass, and kind of just threw off the overall, for lack of a better word, vibe of South Carolina's offense. They worked through it. They got, you know, through it with transition offense and kind of just running running out Auburn because they had the depth to do so. But definitely it was a weird moment, at least in the first half, where it felt like something wasn't clicking on offense. And Dom thinks it was, you know, probably a little bit of South Carolina, but a lot of just what Auburn was doing really, really well defensively.
This matchup with Auburn, and Auburn obviously being a team that has been hanging around the 500 mark in the Southeastern Conference, which is obviously a very good conference for women's basketball, but it is a 500 team in it. What, in your opinion, as you get set, effectively one more tune-up match taking on Georgia before you kind of hit the home stretch of pretty good SEC teams the rest of the ride? What, aside from communication, do you think Dom works on getting cleaned up before this Georgia matchup tonight?
Definitely rebounding. South Carolina has gotten destroyed on the boards, even if at the end of the game the stats favor South Carolina in terms of rebounding. Like, they've been giving up some crucial rebounds for, you know, consistent stretches throughout games. They've lost the rebounding battle. They've almost lost the rebounding battle. Like, that just, I think, in general needs to get cleaned up, because that's exactly what happened against Texas, where Texas destroyed them on the offensive boards. I think it was like 18-3 after the first, I don't want to say quarter, it might have been, but first half at least, South Carolina managed to pull it together. But like, Texas isn't going to miss as many shots as they did the first time around. So South Carolina needs to be incredibly careful and get them off the boards after they make the first miss, because they're not going to be as bad shooting as they were the first time.
Yeah, I think that's obviously something that South Carolina in years gone by, with names like Wilson and Boston, et cetera, I think they've almost maybe been able to take that for granted a little bit, Lulu Kesson, because they've just had the bodies and the talent down there. And obviously, that's a big reload spot. You still got players like Chloe Kitts who can get down there and kind of bang in the paint a little bit. But you don't really have that dominant force anymore, which means you've got to transition to a more team-friendly rebounding style. And I wonder if just being as talented in the paint for as long as the Gamecocks have been maybe kind of created a world where they just assumed it was going to be the same thing? Or do you think this is just a young team that's kind of still learning the ropes, even if they are the number two team in the country?
I think it's a little bit of both, because I don't think it was necessarily as big of a problem to start the year as it is recently. And so that's kind of to your first point of, like, I think they knew they didn't have 6'7" Cardoso in the paint to rebound, and so they put a really strong emphasis on it. Why that's kind of suffered as of late, I'm not necessarily sure, but I imagine it's some, you know, it's a young team, but it's a very mature veteran team at the same time. That's kind of what I've been talking about all year, and people are probably tired of me hearing, like, it's the same team that's different. And obviously they don't have Ashton Watkins, who had, you know, a record 20 rebounds in a single game last year and was averaging, I think, like 7 or 8 or 9 by the time she was injured this year. So I think it's more of, okay, we were adjusted to how things were going to go in the beginning of the year-ish. Watkins got hurt. Now we're kind of out of the loop and not doing the dirty work, the extra work to get on the glass and to get those rebounds.
Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. You've got that game. Then obviously you've got another matchup with a Texas team that I think is probably one of the bigger threats, at least within the conference, Lulu Kesson. So I know we're a little bit out. That game will be played before the next time you and I get together. It is on the road in Austin. Can you give me some early thoughts on that one?
Yeah, yeehaw. I'm going to Texas for the first time. Selfishly, I'm very excited. I mentioned it a little bit, but I'll just kind of say it simply. I strongly believe this won't be the same type of game. South Carolina's home arena obviously is really hard to play in, and I think Madison Booker, one of the best players in college basketball, she finished like 3 of 18 that game. She was, I don't want to say she was rattled, but she was off. She was missing layups. Texas was missing layups and easy shots. So I think South Carolina, not they'll listen to this and listen to me, but they'll need to prepare for a better shooting offense and just a more together Texas team. That's not to say South Carolina didn't deserve the win. I mean, Bree Hall played fantastic on defense against Booker. But Don even said they missed a lot of shots. So I think in their own home arena, it's just going to be a little bit stronger of an offense overall that I think South Carolina is going to face, which in my opinion will make the game super interesting and a win for South Carolina that much better.
All right, last one, and we'll let you go. Lulu Kessin, Aja Wilson, arguably the best women's basketball player on planet Earth, obviously a former Gamecock. The jersey got hung in the rafters at Columbia Life Arena. They did a whole celebration around her as she was at the game the other day. Talk to me a little bit about just the continuing relationship between the WNBA's best, one of the best on planet Earth, and what that night was like to pay homage and respects to one of the greatest Gamecocks of all time.
Yeah, it was great. I think it was exactly what Wilson wanted it to be. You know, she was very understanding and acknowledging of the fact that a jersey retirement often comes before a game. So she wasn't there to take all the attention from South Carolina in that sense. But she was also understanding that people wanted to honor her in another way. I mean, I love that now she has a statue outside of the arena and now her jersey inside of the arena. Like, so few people and players can say that. And it was just a very fun day to watch her and her and Don's relationship firsthand. And, you know, something that's unique about the WNBA is that the season starts in May. And, you know, last year you had Caitlin Clark, you had Camila Cardoso, Cameron Brink, you had these high draft picks whose season had just ended, you know, April, late March. And I think Aja is very understanding of that and is very vocal with prospective, you know, players in the WNBA, you know, people like Bree Hall, Tahina Paopao, that want to make that jump. And she's giving as much advice now as she can because the transition is so rapid and it's so different. You know, you leave college and then all of a sudden you're potentially a professional basketball player fighting for a spot after being a starter for 4 years. So we watched Aja practice with the team and basically talk and answer their questions for like 25 minutes after. So it was very cool.
That is awesome. And also, really dope shoe line coming out for that young lady. Rob Brown may have to cop a pair. Lulu Kessin.
Oh my God, they're so cool. Yeah, I love them.
They're dope. They're dope. I'm gonna end up by that. Listen, I have one pair of men's designer shoes. I got a pair of J's, and that's really it. I'm gonna end up by the time the season kicks off with two pair of women's shoes. I'm gonna end up with a Caitlin pair. I'm gonna end up with the Aja pair because they are dope.
I love that for you. There you go.
Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News. She covers the Gamecocks. Joins us every Thursday at 8 a.m. Yeehaw indeed. Enjoy Austin. It's weird. You'll love it. And we'll talk to you next week, young lady. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for having me. Have a good weekend, guys.
You too. Thank you very much. Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News joining us on the show. She leaned into that yeehaw there, too.
Absolutely.
I said, break this theme down. She said, yeehaw, going to Texas. Loved it. Loved it. Hey, when we come back, audio blitz. Let's jump into some of the best audio that we've captured since yesterday. We'll listen to and react to it next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. All right, let's get some sound in here, shall we? The audio blitz, some of the best audio we have picked up over the past few hours. Let's start with this. Adam Schefter was on the ESPN NFL podcast the other day, and they were talking about, as is the conversation in the NFL, like it or not, whether or not the Chiefs get calls. I got to tell you, even if you believe it is, it's kind of getting exhausting at this point, but also very valid if you've lost trust in the NFL. Shefty was asked about it, and it came to the defense of Patrick Mahomes.
true crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It don't work, dude. It don't work. We all remember it was only a few days ago that you said relief is on the way about Patrick Mahomes. You said that. Ain't nobody forgetting that crap. And since then, all he's done is heap praise on the Chiefs, thinking it's going to quell the fire. No, this is a raging fire.
An inferno.
Go away.
You know, I really played that because I was curious if Lonzo would stand his ground on Shefty.
I'm over here taking care of some business, and yeah, no.
I was just curious if the great one was going to jump in and go, that a baby, Shefty, way to make your move, or if he was going to say, you know what, I busted you up 3 days ago, and I'm going to keep busting you up now, and I appreciate the consistency out of the great one. Two absolute legends of the broadcasting game got back together when Rich Eisen joined the Dan Patrick Show. Do you want to guess what they talked about?
I'm going to go with Chiefs. It's not, though. It's not the same thing because the Patriots had were caught cheating. So, and the Chiefs have not cheated. And no one's saying that the Chiefs are cheating. They're saying the refs are cheating for the Chiefs.
That's correct.
And that is not the same. It's similar in the fact that there's controversy, but it's not the same.
That is correct. The argument isn't that the Chiefs are cheating. It's that the refs are, to use Rich Eisen's phraseology there, putting their thumbprints on the game.
And the referees have come out and addressed this too. I sent that to you earlier in the week. They've come out and addressed it, which they usually shouldn't have to.
They shouldn't have to. In fairness, I approach that with the same absolute jaded approach that I took to the Saints when they said, oh, you know, we investigated ourselves and we found we've done nothing wrong. Yeah, that tends to happen when you investigate yourself, right? That's like when Congress does a congressional hearing on Congress. Turns out they never did anything wrong when they are the only body who can investigate the body. All right.
So you're saying you believe that the refs are cheating?
No, I do believe.
Because it's kind of implied with the way that with your analogy.
I believe what Shefty said a few minutes ago, which is superstars get superstar calls. And I will say, because, and I probably should have spent more time on this, Shefty said guys like Mahomes, same as Jordan, same as Brady, same as all these other legends, they get the benefit of the doubt, quote, because they deserve it. That's where you lose me. I don't think any player deserves a call that another player wouldn't get. It either is or it isn't. I have had to rectify that in my brain and come to the recognition reality that whether I think that's true or not, it happens. I hate it. It shouldn't. If it's a call on Derek Carr, it's a call on Drake May, it's a call on Mahomes, or it's not. But superstars get superstar calls, and that goes not just with individual players. It goes with teams as well. The Jordan rules are real, and so I do believe there is at least some influence. I do not think it is rigged. I have said that. I do not believe it is scripted. Sorry, Tribal Chief. I do not believe that the NFL has preferred winners and losers. I just think that, and I think this because we have seen it across every major sport, and we have seen it from team to team and player to player. I think that subconsciously or otherwise, some players and the best teams get calls in their favor for whatever reason it happens. And I just happen to think that right now the Chiefs are them. And the difference between the Chiefs and so many other Super Bowl teams is you guys have been around for 5 years now in the mix at the top of the league.
I just want to point one thing out. You've noticed that the Stephen A. Smiths of the world have stopped. Suddenly they stopped after Buffalo didn't make it. I'm gonna say that's the reason why Buffalo didn't make it. They just stopped. So that noise from that level has stopped. I'm curious from you, because you get to spend time with national audiences and on national shows. Was that ever there on the radio side, on the betting side? And if so, lightened up?
Yes, but that's not just about the Chiefs. That's about everybody. That's about LeBron James. That's about Roger Federer in tennis. Like, it is absolutely a belief in the gambling world that certain superstars get calls.
What I'm talking about is like on BetGM or on your show on Saturday. What does Cody say about it? What do the guys on BetGM say about it?
The guys on BetMGM tonight, Ryan Horvat, Brad Evans, which you can hear right here on this and other fine radio stations every weekday from 7 to 11 p.m.
Hey, I apologize for getting it.
Oh, it's all good.
I forgot the M, okay?
You did forget an M.
I forgot an M.
I'm from Ohio State, by the way.
I'm wearing an Ohio State shirt, so forgetting an M is... it's.
Yeah, but you said the second one.
Yeah, well, you're
You
right.
should just call it the Bet G Show.
You could have went with me.
Bet G tonight.
You could have helped me there.
They are in the camp that I am in, which is refs have had an impact for sure, but they've had an impact the way that they've always had an impact, which is superstar teams and superstars get calls. Subconsciously, consciously, I don't know. But they absolutely get calls. And it has influenced the game to some degree. Again, I straight up say, while I have said a number of times, it's not rigged. I don't believe it's rigged. I don't think the NFL is. In fact, you know what? Let me play you this clip from, this is Chris Sims. Chris Sims was asked about this on Radio Row, and then I'll give you what I was thinking because he kind of addressed it too. Shut up, everybody. That's where I am. I'm in that same spot. I think subconsciously, consciously, I don't know. But the favorite players, the favorite teams get calls, always have. I wish it wasn't that way. Honestly, if it's a foul on Mahomes, it should be a foul on Carr. If it's a foul on Carr, it should be a foul on Mahomes. I agree with that take. But I also understand the reality of the situation is that's not it. That's where I fall. But I also understand the people who are upset.
I also always have a caveat. If the ref didn't see it, it didn't happen. But, you know. That's a player mentality.
I don't think that's a caveat. I think that's just how the game works, right? If the whistle and the flag don't come out, it kind of is what it is. So I got some more sound for you. We will keep the audio blitz rolling on the other side. The Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. Running through some sound here on an extended version of the audio blitz. Rashad Beard ordinarily joins us here, but had a real work meeting today. He will rejoin the program tomorrow on the show. All right, we have done some NFL sound for you. A lot of the early sound was about the Chiefs referees conspiracy. I want to get away from that. For the second half of the audio blitz, let us start with something that I found yesterday and I very, very much want more of. There was a show on ESPN back in the day called Sports Science. Do you remember Sports Science? I adored that show.
Yeah, no one's surprised that you adored that show.
I adored that show. Correct. I adored that show because they broke down sports into the numbers, into the physics, into the science. One of my favorite segments of all time.
Why that show didn't make it. I'm just
because you know. More of you need to be educationally minded. All right, that was a wonderful show. And by the way, I don't know about you. I learn better when the things that I am learning are connected to things that I love. Do you know how much better kids would do in math if instead of saying Bobby has 3 apples and Susie has 2 apples, if we said, yo, Max Fried threw 3 heaters at 95 and 4 changeups at 78. What was the average speed of a Max Fried pitch?
Yeah, the kids are already asleep. And if they say Johnny caught 3 Pikachus and Bobby only caught 2, I mean, that's probably more along the lines for a kid.
That's way worse. Put the science back in sports. You know who puts the science into everything? Ladies and gentlemen, for the very first time in Audio Blitz history, we have a Neil deGrasse Tyson clip. I have been waiting, anticipating, and here he is. Neil deGrasse Tyson was asked about the science of the tush push.
Yay. This is a produced piece.
Yay! Yes, it's a scripted, social media clip.
It's not an actual science question. It sounded like a Sklar brother asked him. Who was asking him the question?
It was from the Green Light Go podcast, which is, this is just kind of the stuff they deal with. It's just like random.
All right, in my mind, it was a Sklar brother. And you know, if someone asks him randomly and he, boom, knocks it out, then I believe it.
Well, first off,
I'm guessing someone wrote it for him.
For Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Not a real scientist. Not a real scientist.
I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm coming to you stream because Lonzo is a rage baiter right now.
You would think.
The man holds multiple PhDs.
In what?
Engineering. He's an astrophysicist.
Is he? From where?
Yes. From where? From the New York Observatory, where he runs the Astrophysics Center of the World.
So the New York Observatory gives out degrees?
No, he has degrees, and now he runs. I'm done with you for right now. You're not coming after my hero, all right? You're not coming after my guy, Neil deGrasse Tyson, icon
there
legend.
There goes my hero.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. And what I love is twofold. Number one is that he said a lot of what I said earlier this week when we talked tush push, and you guys called me a nerd. But here's the thing. You want to know how to stop the tush push? It's going to take a nerd to figure it out because it is laws of physics. But the part I didn't mention, this is the part that Neil deGrasse Tyson, a certified astrophysicist, by the way, who runs the New York Observatory, brought into this conversation. It is the concept of not just the fact that the Eagles have that initial push because they have the reaction time off the snap. It is the fact that by having the reaction time, I said last week, every offensive line coach in the history of football has said what? Low man win. There's the reason that the low man wins. And the reason the low man wins is because the low man gets to continue to utilize planet Earth as his foundation. The mass transfer from Earth into that person, they have the base to utilize versus the man who is up. All he has is his own body weight and whatever power he can generate within his body to push back. So the person below has an almost infinite mass advantage, and as force equals mass times acceleration, the equal on the opposite side, the acceleration times the mass of player and Earth versus the force generated by acceleration times just the mass of a football player, is going to inherently be greater. That's why the low man wins.
All right, you sound like Doc Brown explaining something, and then like dirty ice comes out. I just want to say,
what's Marty McFly without Doc Brown? Not a damn thing. A dork in a stupid puffy jacket who gets his ass kicked by Biff Tannen. Doc Brown's the hero, not Marty McFly.
Okay, by the way, he was also an excellent guitarist, Marty McFly.
Yeah. What was he doing before he met Doc Brown? That guitar talent.
Neil deGrasse Tyson holds a bachelor's degree in physics from Harvard and a doctorate of astrophysics from Columbia University. Mm-hmm. So I'm helping you out because you didn't know where he got his degrees from. Those are two noted universities. One of them, both Ivy League,
Columbia, for sure.
Yeah, and Harvard also. And but here's the thing.
But he's not a real scientist.
No. He's never played football before.
Oh, God. No.
What does he know?
No. I am absolutely done with you. Moving on. I don't even know where. Dwayne Wade chimed in on the Luka Doncic trade. You know, there was a conspiracy. We talked about it yesterday that this was the start of the Mavericks to disassemble their own team. The new ownership that came in, former Las Vegas casino magnates. The conspiracy theory floated earlier this week was that this was the beginning of the dismantling of the Dallas Mavericks in order to move the Mavs to Las Vegas. To which I said, I don't think that's the case for two primary reasons. You got me heated. You got me under the collar. Reason number one is the DeMont family, who owns the team now, they don't have any Las Vegas. I mean, they have connections, but they don't own anything in Las Vegas. They don't own casinos right now. They don't own gyms, coliseums, whatever. The second reason is, and I found this out yesterday, there is legislation being floated right now in Austin, Texas, that would legalize sports gambling in Dallas. Dallas is a massive market. So while there would be a benefit from going to Vegas in that it is the tourism capital of the United States, Las Vegas does not have the permanent population that Dallas does. And if gambling becomes legalized in Dallas, in Texas, guess where those Las Vegas magnates can put their next casino? In Dallas. Were they on a team? So Dwayne Wade took that conspiracy theory and gave his thoughts on it. So D. Wade says the owners made this move happen. Viewership is down. However, you got a crop of global superstars, Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic, etc., that are beginning to pop up. So how do you ensure that the next face of the league is positioned in prime time? You put them in the biggest market. You put them in a market that has international reach. You put them in Las Vegas. You get a couple of years to allow Luka Doncic to build off of, to bump draft the popularity of LeBron James. LeBron also gets to teach him how to be a celebrity, how to be the face of the league, how to take all of that and segue it into success. And then when LeBron steps away, boom, the next guy in market number one is already there, propped up and ready to roll in that spot. Remember, towards the end of the Kobe Bryant era, when the Lakers sucked, the NBA also lost audience at that point. Now they can roll what is turning out to be a pretty good Lakers team. Now they can segue that from LeBron's Lakers into Luka's Lakers. Dwayne Wade said, you want to know why this trade was so shocking? Why this trade was so wild that the internet spent like 7 minutes wondering if Shams after the ShamWow got hacked? Because this trade can't be real. D. Wade said, look, it's to make sure that L.A. has a face, to make sure that L.A. has no rollover, and to do so utilizing your internationally growing crowd. And I got to tell you, I way subscribe to that theory more than I do the Mavs moving to Vegas.
By the way, I completely agree, too. I think that's a great theory, but what do you think of that if you're Anthony Davis?
One of the things.
I get he's older. But what he's saying is that Anthony Davis could not be that face of the Lakers.
Oh, Anthony Davis could not be the face of the Lakers. The reason Anthony Davis was a Laker was so that he could be the face of the Lakers when LeBron hung it up. They could have got 5-6 years of AD being the guy. But here is something that New Orleans Pelicans fans realized before AD got sent to L.A., AD doesn't have that dog in him. He doesn't want to wear the crown. He doesn't want to be the face. He wants to be Robin, not Batman. And because of that, I think the Lakers ultimately learn, and this is part of the reason I think they were willing to part with Anthony Davis, aside from the fact that he's 31 and Luka's 25. I think the LA Lakers were willing to part from AD because they came to the recognition of what I have been saying for a long time. Anthony Data Davis does not have any interest in being him, in being the guy, in being the king, in taking the crown for LeBron. He wants to go along for the ride to a championship, not drive the boat to get there. Luka, on the other hand, as evidenced by the fact that, you know, he dragged an okay Dallas Mavericks team to the NBA Finals last year, and not just that. Here's my favorite part. I found this earlier. Go back to last year. If you wanna have a fun little game, go back to last year. Last year's 2024 playoff leaders, okay, across all stats. You know who led the playoffs in points? Luka Doncic. You know who led the playoffs in rebounds? Luka Doncic. This is all teams. You know who led the playoffs in assists? Luka Doncic. You know who led the playoffs in steals last year? Luka Doncic. You know who led the playoff in field goals and three-pointers and free throws last year? Luka Doncic. You know who led the playoffs in minutes played last year? Luka Doncic. He led the entire NBA playoff field in every single statistical category, including steals. Remember, Mr. Luka ain't got no defense, Doncic. Luka Doncic, because there ain't no D. That's that guy. That's him. So, look, if AD doesn't want to be the guy, fine. We'll go get somebody who can be the guy, and we will trade a guy who doesn't want to be the guy to make sure we get the guy who's going to be the guy for a very long time after the guy leaves. It's a great move. I subscribe to the theory that was just put together by D. Wade, that this was a move to make sure that the number one television market probably on planet Earth does not have to go even 1 year without having its superstar. And considering that the league is becoming progressively more diverse and global, Luka Doncic is an international star. So the Lakers not only have a longtime face of the franchise now, but they also have a face of the franchise now that appeals to the planet, not just the United States. And we all know the game's going global. Speaking of that, Boomer Esiason had a very interesting take on the NFL expanding to Europe. And I'm going to play that for you, and we're going to talk about it coming up in the next segment of the show. No, we're not. Hayton S. Mario. We are going to talk about it because I'll ask Hayton S. Mario about it. That's what I was totally going to do, was segue it into that. Hayton S. Mario, Fight Club, and then whatever you want until we ask what the X is going on and go home. Going home. Sports Flash.
Wow, and he cut himself off. That counts. And I also want to say, don't you sail a boat, not drive a boat? I don't know. If it's motorized, does that make it drive?
With sails.
No, well.
If it ain't got sails, you can't sail.
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, I was landlocked most
of
my life.
You're
asking the 1%er? Yeah, I know. Anyway, a flurry of moves across the NBA as deadline approaches at 3 p.m. today. Yesterday, the Miami Heat traded Jimmy Butler to the Golden State Warriors in a multi-team deal. The Warriors were making a push for Kevin Durant, who informed the team that he had no interest in returning. He said, nope. Butler will decline his $52 million option in favor of a two-year, $111 million deal. Andrew Wiggins, Kyle Anderson, and a 2025 first rounder will go to Miami in return, while Dennis Schroeder will go to the Jazz, and Utah sends P.J. Tucker to Miami. Tune in this Saturday at 4 p.m. as Furman Paladins take on the Chattanooga Mocs. Furman versus Chattanooga right here when you're home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate, Mocs.